ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Got all kinds of topics today. A couple of former Sooner flakes that we need to discuss, or what seem to be flakes. Obviously, Lincoln Riley's a flake. You see what he said yesterday on the Colin Cowherd show?
It said a lot about him.
I've got that queued up for there. And also, what the world is going on with Kyler Murray? Is he breaking up with Cliff? Is this what's happening? Is it a public breakup? Talk about that. Super Bowl topics. CBS Sports had a pretty cool list. The biggest turning point in each of the Super Bowls so far. And a couple of those, not only in those games, but then got me to thinking, because obviously the Steelers have had tons back in the 70s. And it also got to me thinking about a play that happened before that first Super Bowl and how that changed franchise fortunes for a couple of different franchises. And I think that could be argued that there were special teams plays within the Super Bowl that changed the fortunes of franchises. We'll talk about that list. And then who can make that play in this Super Bowl? Who will make the game-defining play? Coming up on Sunday, I've got a person written down for each team that I think can make that play that would it'll fit on this list for next year. High school basketball results from last night. We got all those written down. And then, Jared, I have run the gamut of emotions with food over the last couple of days. From the highest of highs on Saturday to the lowest of lows last night. And I will tell you about that coming up right here off the top of the show. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. Going to be outside the listening area. A couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other, download the Paragon app. The app has all things. It's got the three radio stations here in Elk City. It's got the Penny News, brand new addition to the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, will tell you all about that. We're going to do 8 for State tomorrow because the playoffs officially off tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll have time.
So we'll do the 8 for State tomorrow in the Class A and B boys and girls brackets. And then also, let's see, the Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes, KADSAM.com. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen that way. Hello, Jared.
How are you, sir?
I am doing fine.
Well, it is the talk of the town, is this search for the ice cream.
I know. It's an amazing thing, right?
I had people asking me in little old Corn, Oklahoma at CBA last night. Two people.
I had a lengthy conversation before the games with one guy that had been catching up on podcasts. And wanting to know if I'd found it, which I had just found it. That was the great part of last night. I'm gonna start. Do you want to start with negative or positive when it comes to food, Jared?
Let's start with the positive.
The positive will be after the games down in Tuttle on Saturday. Kara was nice enough to go with me to the Elk City games, and by the way, thank goodness because she ended up being the filmer for the boys game.
Oh, wow.
Her manager wasn't there, so she ended up being the camera person. She did a fantastic job doing that for me, so I really appreciated that. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to treat her to a good dinner.
Yeah, we did not talk about this.
We haven't talked about this yet.
Yes.
And so I had always heard of a place in Amber, little old Amber, Oklahoma, called Ken's. And I thought, you know what? I wasn't 100% sure where Amber was. I knew, you know, you go right through Pocasset on the way to Chickasha, right?
Yeah.
And I see signs. I'm thinking, all right, it's got to be down here somewhere. We can't be very far away. Well, we weren't. It was like 10 miles, probably more of a 20-minute drive the way the road was. But anyhow, so we decide, you know what? It's 4:20. We're about 15, 20 minutes away. Sure, we're probably eating earlier than most 70-year-olds, but we're going to do it because I've never been there. This place sounds cool.
And, you know, maybe beat the crowd.
And beat the crowd. Well, for sure. I mean, if it's open at 4:30, surely, you know, by 6 is when, you know, things will really kick off.
Right.
So we roll in the parking lot about 4:45, right in that area, 10 minutes or so after the place opens. And there's just cars everywhere. And I'm thinking, what is there, a birthday party? What is going on here? And we get in there, and it's the way of the design. If you've never been there, you know, most places when you walk in the front door, that's kind of the receptionist.
Yeah.
Right? To, right. Okay, hey, it's going to be a 10-minute wait, da-da-da, whatever that is. And so that's where the kind of the line is, right? Well, this place, that's where the cashier is to leave. And gotcha. The receptionist is down the way. And so basically, it's like a mix of Aishans and then also but a little bit more or a little bit less chaotic to get a seat because there's actually a method you have to, but instead of, you know, most places when you're waiting, you're not waiting watching people eat.
Right.
Like you are at Aishans, right? And then you just pile into you're almost picking chicken out of their thing to get them out of there so you can sit down, you know, on a busy Friday or Saturday or whatever. This place you didn't do that because it actually had a line and they would come ask you how many and kind of get you ready. But anyway, we were standing in line. We had no idea what to do. We're just standing in this line, and then a lady recognizes Kara. For those out here, it's you know Gordon Thomas, Gordon and Melba. It was Gordon's sister. So she says, "Hey, why don't you sit with us?" Her and her husband had a booth. So we just get to sit down. We cut the line. I mean, you want to talk about nasty looks from the people in front of us in the line.
Yes.
Of course, we had no idea what was happening.
Right.
So we sit down, and she says, okay, the waitress comes by, and they'd already actually ordered their food. So she tells the waitress, hey, they're going to sit with us. Okay, that's fine. And so there's not a menu. I mean, I'm looking around for the menu, like, okay, what do we do? And she goes, oh, no, there's no menu. You got the salad bar, which had salad. Also on the salad bar, fresh jalapeno, baked bean, brown beans, and also fried okra.
Okay, so all your sides,
yes,
too.
Yes, the sides bar. Are there, right. With the salad bar, and that comes with the meal or what have you. And so then when the waitress comes back, gets our drinks, and then says, okay, well, here's what we got. And it's steak, it's chicken, grilled chicken, half chicken, rib dinner, and maybe some pulled pork. Not much, so they're really not needing of a menu. Mm-hmm. And a prime rib also. Mm. And so I'm like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, I've heard about the steak. I'll have the steak, da-da-da. Well, here in just a second, there's this basket, like what you would think of like a basket at a diner. I'm thinking about it, Chuck's. They're red and they had the paper in them,
uh-huh.
You know, when they brought your food. Well, inside this basket, I'm like, huh, what is this, bread? No, it's ribs. They give you complimentary ribs.
That's insane.
I immediately fell in love with this place, obviously.
Wow.
I fell in love with it so much I actually went up and put a little bit of lettuce on my plate to pretend like I had a salad. So they bring you the ribs, and then the bread comes later with the meal. So anyhow, that place was awesome, and I was just amazed at the way it functions. Because the line for people waiting was just right there watching you eat.
Wow.
And it moved pretty quick. So if you're ever there, I mean, it's an experience you have to have.
Yeah.
In Little O'Amber, Oklahoma. Now, that's the good.
Well, let me just stay with the good.
Okay.
Because I know they're a sponsor of ours on one of our stations. Me and my wife Saturday went to Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
First time since they've redone everything. And we went with a couple of friends and it was first time. We got reservations. And I got me a steak dinner. And, oh, my goodness. I took a picture. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not.
Huge steak and good food, good atmosphere. You know, I was wondering, how is this going to be compared to the old Cowboys? Obviously, it's not the old Cowboys like we were used to.
Yeah, because I'm not sitting in that booth over there by that sidebar.
Yeah. I didn't get an LIT.
Did my
did you get a stoplight?
Was my picture
No, all the pictures were down. All those pictures. Remember those collages of pictures? Yeah. I wonder what happened to those.
I figured I still had like at least
like
a
all the Halloween.
On that
the Halloween
there.
Parties were big. Anyways, so but it was this was more of a. It was really cool because it reminded me of. I don't know how to describe. I've never been to a place like this, but you've seen it on TV. Like you think it'd be something like in Texas or in this case Oklahoma, where you go get a nice steak dinner and you can go do some two-stepping. They had live entertainment that was really good. Two of them. They had one guy that was just straight up singing, and he was taking requests, and he would know it by heart. He'd
really?
Come around table to table, talk with us. Me and my wife were scratching our head. We thought, did we have this guy entertain at our wedding? I could not remember who my father-in-law hired, but he looked familiar. I asked him, do you remember doing a wedding in 09? He goes, dude, I've done a ton of weddings.
Yeah, real good.
But had a live band that was covering great country music, and like I said, everybody out there waltzing and swinging and two-stepping, you know, a lot of more cowboy hats than not. It reminded me of an old Texas steakhouse that had two-stepping right in the middle. It's a great plan, good idea, and we had a good time.
I've heard it's fantastic over there.
I recommend it. I tell you what,
boy,
next
one
time
of our...
you and Kara want to go, call us up, pick us up, we'll go.
Hey.
We'll go. Hey, speaking of which, here. Kara's here.
Yeah.
See you, hob along.
All right, buddy, good luck.
So, okay, the bad.
Okay, no. You know, here's the bad. There's way too many people, or at least for sure one person listening that knows my history inside that building better than most.
Inside the built what?
Oh, the Cowboys building.
Oh, yeah, well, we don't need to
probably
rehash
right there,
that.
Probably hanging out right there beside me. Anyway, yeah, I've heard good stuff. Billy wants to know where I was at. Ken's in Amber. Billy, Ken's in Amber.
Ken's.
Knowing Billy, I feel like he might have been there. Might have been able to smell that one out. I've always heard about it, and it is fantastic. Okay, so the bad. I was so excited yesterday, I even told you.
Mm-hmm.
I had found the Little Debbie ice cream.
The elusive Little Debbie ice cream.
And it just so happened to be where I was going to be last night in Altus at their Walmart Supercenter.
There you go.
And so I downloaded the app. I didn't have a Walmart app. I like to go in and shop myself. I like to pick out the fruit that we eat, the vegetables. I like to do that. I don't need somebody picking that stuff out for me. And also something you had said that I'd heard about was the substitution thing where they give you something that you're not really wanting.
Right. You have to okay it.
Yeah,
they'll say,
okay.
Hey, are you okay with the substitutions, you know, but go ahead.
Anyhow, so I found this. I downloaded and I had everything ready to go. And I had to pick it up between 9 and 10 just because of the timing. When I entered the order, I thought to myself, I need to make sure and just get it before. But that time wasn't available for the pickup. And it only showed that you could get this by the pickup. Like, it's not out on the shelves or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do 9 to 10. I'm like, that's all right. Most of these games end. You know, I'm only done 9:15 to 9:30, something like that. And so I wasn't really fretting it much. And then I realized it's senior night at Altus.
Ah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, it's going to be – I may have to be cutting this close. This post game for the boys is going to be very long. And it wasn't. But I got everything needed to be done. But anyhow, long story short, I roll into the pickup spot at the Walmart in Altus at 10:04. I check in. I actually checked in before – tried to check in before I actually got there because I knew I was cutting it close, maybe like 10:02 as I was at the light before you pull into the Walmart.
Yeah.
And I get this message that says, no longer able to check in or something like that. And I'm like, oh, no. Mm. So I pull in there. There's a phone number on the wall there. I call it. We're sorry. Pickup stops at 10.
Oh, no.
And so, I know you had people ask you. I had people ask you.
Yes.
I had someone that I honestly don't think knew I had a show that asked me about it yesterday driving down there. I'm not kidding. Because they wanted to hear about the ice cream. And unfortunately, I had to cancel that order this morning because I didn't know how to do that, first off. And I wasn't able to get there in time. So instead of us carving out most of the show for a taste test, we'll just have to sit here and cry about the fact that we don't have the Little Debbie ice cream again today.
Dear.
I've almost decided, my wife mentioned this at one point, and I was like, no, I've got it. It's out this. I'm going to get this. It's almost like it's not meant to be.
No, we can't give up.
It's like a test of strength.
No, we
like
can't.
Like in the Old Testament of the Bible, where God is testing my will.
This is our walk through the desert. We cannot give up. We cannot quit.
I'm not kidding when I say this.
We got people rooting for us, man. I had great listeners come up to me and ask, do you think you'll get the ice cream?
I'm not kidding when I say this. This right here that I hold in my hand is the Walmart list for today that I need to go get. It is not out of the realm of possibility for me to drive right back down there, have supper somewhere in Altus, and try to commandeer this ice cream. Probably depends on whether or not Wyatt's foot's broken, because it's not going to be much fun with him limping around.
Have
on crutches.
You checked Hobart?
I have.
Okay. Just saying. I mean,
I also thought to myself, okay, Newcastle on Friday. Do I start checking around there? I may end up leaving at noon on Friday, by the way, everyone, bosses. I may have to leave at noon on Friday to be sure and get to Newcastle and set up in a timely fashion for that game, and also drive around to every Walmart in the Oklahoma City area to try to, because the listeners clearly want it.
Yeah.
We're doing this for the listeners.
We might have to come up with some kind of a finder's fee for our listeners if they're able to find it.
I've had people wanting to do A, that, and B, set right in here for the taste test as well.
For the taste test, that works too, man. Ah, golly. And, you know, I hope it's, at the end of the day, I just hope it doesn't suck. I hope it's good. I hope after all this, we don't take that first bite and go,
I said that last night. Like, there's no way it can be good enough to live up to the hype that I've built it in my mind.
We've built it up pretty big.
It's funny how, like,
it's kind of like a preseason ranking.
Everyone that I talk to that about this, they all have a different, they all have a different idea of which one's going to be the best.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
that's what's cool about it. Now the silver lining in the story, Jared, is that last night we would have been deprived of two. Altus didn't have all seven that looked like they did when I ordered.
You were going to try to get all seven.
I was trying to get all seven. I had ordered all seven. They came back. Two were missing. Zebra cake and Swiss cake roll, which I think Swiss cake roll is the one that I want to be good more than any of them.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Yeah, I think I want the
I mean, I want the oatmeal. I want the oatmeal cream pie to be good. Now, I have no doubt the nutty bar is going to be good. It's peanut butter and chocolate.
Peanut butter and chocolate in ice cream? Forget about it.
That's definitely going to be good.
It's good.
Now, how are you going to judge this? By the way it tastes, or how similar it tastes to what it's replicating?
I think a little bit of a column kind A, a little from column B.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so like,
because you see this stuff, you see it, you know, it, not just Little Debbie, you see other ice creams and other, well, shoot, we just had coffee creamer with Cinnamon Toast Crunch creamer.
Yep.
We just had coffee with Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So, you know, we have this idea of what it should taste like. Will it improve our coffee? Will this stuff improve our ice cream? We know what ice cream tastes like. We know what Little Debbie's. Will the marriage work? You know, so that's what I'm kind of judging it on.
Okay.
So does it satisfy my love of ice cream and my love of Little Debbie equally, and does it maybe even enhance it a little bit? A little convoluted answer, but that's what I'm looking for.
It's kind of both. I'm ready to try it. I was so sad. I got so mad I didn't even eat supper.
I was thinking about driving in. I was like, I'm not going to eat light breakfast today because I'm eating ice cream.
I drove home and didn't even eat supper. All right, enough about food. Yeah, we'll have to talk about actual sports in this segment. High school basketball results last night.
Well, listen, the food gets a lot of response, though.
It does. And there's nothing more than I'd like to be doing than having a scoop of honey bun ice cream right about now. They give it go good with the coffee. Anyhow, high school basketball last night, Elk City was down and out the second night of a back-to-back and second straight night that the Brown and White came away with a sweep on Monday than last night. A lot easier wins against Altus. 52-21 for the girls. Haley Bowie had 15 points to pace the Elkettes. She knocked down three threes and three twos. It was a great night for folks with the last name of Bowie from behind the three-point arc. Because Haley had three. Her brother Cole, a freshman, had a career-high 23 in a 69-46 win over Altus. He knocked down six, so 9 threes from the Bowie family last night off the left hands. That's kind of weird as well. It's both Haley and Cole left-handed. And so the Elks win 69-46, both creeping up toward 500 with two regular season games left. The Elkettes have the easier path by far in these last two, at Newcastle and at Elgin. The boys, that Newcastle game would be a tough one. Newcastle beat Tuttle last night, and that's a team that Tuttle knocked off Elk City on Saturday. So that's that'll be a tough ask up there at Newcastle on Friday for the boys. But as Coach Stevens talked about on Monday night, we saw the effort back. You know, last week was a little bit blah for the Elks against Bethany and against Tuttle. It wasn't the same, you know, fire that Elk City had had throughout the season. Even in losses, the boys played hard and kept things right there manageable with chances to win a bunch of the games against good teams. They didn't really do that in either one of those games last week at Bethany or at Tuttle. That returned last night, and then obviously against Chickasha as well. So good to see that rounding in form. The Elkettes have been without a couple of girls here over the last week and a half or so. Hopefully that's going to be rectified on Friday. They'll be back with Kaylin and also Danny. Both look like they're on track to be able to get back in the lineup on Friday up at Newcastle. So that's that'd be kind of as healthy as the Elkettes have been all year if they can get those two back in a good time for it, with the playoffs just right around the corner. So two wins for Elk City. I'll have you talk about Canute here in just a second. Cheyenne Raiden knocked off Burns Flat on the girls' side, 53-32. I couldn't find a boys' score. I didn't hear anything as far as that game not going, so that's kind of weird. Maybe it just hadn't been posted. But if you know that one, text us in, 225-9698, that Cheyenne Raiden Burns Flat Deal City boys' score from yesterday. Arapahoe Butler swept Leedy, 62-32 on the girls, 66-51 on the boys' game. A little bit surprised at the spread there on that boys' game with the way that Leedy had been playing, coming off that 270 conference title game win against Shattuck. And then Eric, boys won 57-41. Arnett won that girls' game 49-30. Then you were over at Corn Bible Academy with Canute.
Yeah, I think the bigger story from that last night over there was that that's the last game at Corn Bible Academy in that gym. And I was trying to figure out how long they played in that gym, and it's pretty much since day one of the school. Even there was a fire back in the 60s, I was told, of the main school, but they rebuilt like a year later, but the fire did not affect the gym. So that gym has been there since day one. I'm being told, I could be wrong, but last night was the very last game in that gym. They're going to, I think, around spring break, pack everything up and move through the new facilities in Clinton. It's been pushed back and pushed back. There's even a conversation of them playing some games over there in their new Clinton facility at the start of this semester.
Right.
But someone said, well, like everybody else, we've been affected by COVID and delays and all that stuff, economy. So last night they played one final game there, and Canute was on the right side of history getting two wins. Girls game was a lot closer than the last time these two teams played when they played at the West Central Basketball Tournament. It was like 60-17. Now, something I failed to realize was CBA was playing that game without one of their seniors, Brooklyn Roberts. Last night she did play. She had a game-high 15 points, three three-pointers. Was just absolutely a beast on both sides of the court. I mean, she just offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, just a well-built, tough player, and she could, like I said, hit some shots. But Canute was able to hold on and win 41-36. At one point in the third, they got a 10-point lead thanks to Abby Jannings' two three-pointers and never really let – well, they let CBA get back into it, but CBA was never let CBA get the lead back. So Canute was able to hold on to that one and get the win. Canute boys just from start to finish was just all over CBA. They won 58-34. Coach Steph has pretty much pulled everybody off the court in the fourth quarter. Leading for Canute scoring was Jackson Beck. He had four three-pointers, 20 points total in three quarters of play. Game high was Harrison Penner, senior for CBA. He had 22. He's a fan favorite, you know, senior night. He was pretty much the only thing that was going for Corn Bible. He's just tall and a long kid. Once they fed it into him, he was hard to defend. But CBA had to defend the likes of Jackson Beck, Zach Potter, Colt Randle. I mean, everybody was hitting their shots, especially from outside. They hit seven three-pointers between those guys and racked up a lot of points, hopefully racking up some momentum going into playoffs. So two wins for Canute, and regular season's done.
Yeah, it's the playoffs actually start tomorrow for Eric, as the district tournament for the Eric girls will kick off tomorrow. The boys will play Friday, and then the winners will play in the district title game on Saturday. Everybody else gets going Friday and Saturday as well in Class A and B. And then, of course, next week, the 2A's through 4A's will get started in their playoff runs as well. I found this list yesterday, and it's weird because I was thinking about like plays in the history of professional football and different stuff, and you know, listening to the memories of Super Bowls and this and that. And then I just kind of stumbled across this list that was sort of saying the same thing. It took plays like the turning point or the most important play of the first 55 Super Bowls, the biggest turning point play, one play in each of the games that have been played so far. And the reason it got me thinking about it was I think I may have saw a list of greatest plays in the history of the game, and the Immaculate Reception came up.
Right.
And then it was like my mind went to, golly, think about how that changed a couple of different franchises. You know, if that play, if Franco Harris is a half a yard to a yard back, that play never happens.
Yeah.
Are the Raiders the 70s? Is it the Cowboys? You know, because the Cowboys won, you know, a couple of Super Bowls in that time, and then also lost twice to the Steelers. Now, that wasn't the year. You know what I'm saying? But what if, you know, how does that derail if they don't win that first one? You realize this? I don't think I had realized this or had forgotten it. That was the first playoff game Pittsburgh had ever won.
Did not realize that.
Was the Immaculate Reception. That's the first time they'd ever won a playoff game. And then they go to they win the Super Bowl that year, win another one back-to-back, the first time they beat the Cowboys. And you know, the Raiders, they would win with Madden a couple years later, but what if that's them? Are they, you know, the AFC superpower instead of the Steelers? You know, so that wasn't a Super Bowl play, but it affected Super Bowls that season and later on. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what a play that I was thinking about there and how that affected the different fortunes for some of those franchises to finish the seasons. You know, the first play that just screams to memory, it wasn't the one that they picked as the turning point of Super Bowl 25, which was Bills, Giants. But obviously, how much different are the early 90s if Scott Norwood's field goal goes through?
True. Think about it. Yeah, so run that down. Well, how much difference would it be?
Well, that's I'm trying to decide, because here's the problem for Buffalo. Well, first off, they win one.
There they go. They win one.
And so they win and it was the first one of four straight that they played in.
Right.
Now, let me, you know, there's all kinds of ways to look at this. Does that then make them not as hungry because they won? Does it set them up to be more comfortable? But the problem, I think, for the Bills in this scenario is that was the weakest team they played, because the next year, that Washington team is one of the best ones of all time. And then they had the Cowboys twice in a row that won three out of four. You know, so I don't know if that kick changes the results of any of those games. But, you know, that second Cowboys Super Bowl, that was a close game. Matter of fact, Buffalo was ahead at halftime before Thurman Thomas started fumbling the ball around. James Washington obviously picking up one and running it back in changed that game to the Cowboys side. So, but, you know, you just never know, right? It's one of the great what-ifs in NFL history. What if Scott Norwood's field goal goes through? And how does that change what happened to the Buffalo Bills? Are we sitting here talking about Jim Kelly in the same vein as Joe Montana?
Or Troy Aikman.
Or Troy. Yeah, it's Troy, you know.
But sometimes it has an opposite effect. You win one and everyone's like, okay, we won one. Yeah. I'm retiring or I'm moving on. I get more money over here.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I totally agree. How, yeah. You know, I think it's hard to just automatically say, well, yeah, they get back to all three, and heck, maybe they win one of them. I think it's impossible to say. I mean, it's possible to say anyways, either way. But you're right. the thing to me about that team and that group of guys was that struggle to get back every year to try to rectify that first one.
Mm-hmm.
And they would climb all the way up that mountain three more years and get smacked down right down to the bottom of it. And then climb right back up again. I mean, it's, you know, they're probably one of those teams in sports that is so overlooked. I mean, that accomplishment is unbelievable. Four straight Super Bowls?
Yeah.
I mean, we're
well, what stands out more is,
think about this, we're fascinated by what Brady did, by what Mahomes is doing right now. Mahomes has made it to two straight and missed the, you know, it's so easy not to get there. And they got it all the way there for four straight times. That's the first one that leaps in my mind is about Norwood. What happens if he makes that field goal against the Giants?
That's a great question. The ripple effect throughout the rest of the 90s. Yeah. So what about it, like, what was on the list, say, in the 2000s? What about the tuck rule? What if they rolled it a fumble?
Yeah,
did
I
we
mean,
talk about Brady like we're talking about Brady today?
Well, see, I've got the Vinatieri field goal that's starting that, but that was from the Super Bowl itself. Yeah,
right.
Before that even happened. That's what, you know, the Steelers dynasty in the 70s is a lot like akin to that right there with the Patriots. Just a crazy play kicked off the best run of all time. You know, I mean, just, and you're right, the tuck rule happened, and then, of course, Vinatieri knocking through the 48-yarder to win the Super Bowl over the Rams. You know, think about where the Rams were. The Rams were dominant two years prior, winning the Super Bowl. That could have been their second and third years in 3 years, you know, with, mm-hmm. with Warner and that group. Instead, that eliminates them from the conversation and then starts Brady with 3 out of 4. And so, you know, that's the difference between the Bills and the Pats. Is it that Vinatieri made it from 48 and Norwood missed from 47? You know, I mean, it's just that fickle of a thing where one play can change the trajectory of a franchise.
I know you're talking about plays in Super Bowls, and I just brought up one outside of Super Bowl. You know, what if Dez Bryant caught it? Or if it was ruled a catch? Cowboys win that game. What happens? Are we – does Tony Romo play a little longer? Does Dallas draft Dak? Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, there's – you know, it's – I mean, I'm trying to make it more local with Dallas fans, but that – I hate the scratch at a womb there. That one still hasn't healed for some.
I don't even. I've just. It's like PTSD. I've just taken it out of my mind. But then, you know, probably the best one though. If you think about game-changing plays in Super Bowls, the best one I can remember, at least on my lifetime, it's got to be the helmet catch, right?
Oh yes, yes.
It's got to be David Tyree's helmet catch.
Where does that rank as one of the top plays ever in the Super Bowl?
Number one?
Yeah.
How could it not be?
I remember when that happened. I was at a Super Bowl watch party, and my brother-in-law yelled. As soon as he caught it, he said, greatest play ever. And he yelled that. He said, greatest play ever. I'm like, okay, have another. Sit down. He was right. It's still talked about as one of the greatest play ever. Ever.
I think with what it did, I mean, you know, the only bad part about that play?
What's that?
Is that those wing nuts in Miami still get to pop champagne every year when the last undefeated team goes by the wayside.
Yep.
That's the only bad thing that happened because, you know, it was the defeating Belichick Brady monster. Stopping an undefeated season. Eli, I mean, it was just so – do you remember going into that game how it was such a foregone conclusion that the Patriots were going to go undefeated?
Oh, yeah.
There was no way Eli and the Giants could win that game, and then they did. And that play, it'll stand the test of time throughout the year. I mean, it's just hard to imagine a better one. The way it happened, I mean, you see the referee, I think it was Mike Carey, running in, about to blow the whistle on because they've got him grabbed in the backfield, and then he backs up as Eli's backing up, and Eli just throws it up in the air in between three different Patriots, and he catches it on his helmet. I mean, even if he just catches it, like, in his breadbasket, we all go, man, what a play. Okay, that's it. You know, the Giants win, but that was an awesome play, but it's not the greatest play of all time.
Yeah.
He caught it on his helmet and somehow had the hand strength. And Rodney Harrison is like ripping out the ball on his helmet, never moves it. And, oh, by the way, they show the one angle because you're thinking, oh, it had to have hit the ground. There's no way he held it.
Yeah.
And then you see the angle from behind shooting perfectly, and it comes up, you know, 3 or 4 inches short of the ground on his helmet, never moves. And it's just
and his
like,
body was kind of contorting backwards as he was getting.
Yeah, even the way he leaned back, you thought, oh, he got even closer to the ground.
And think about a helmet. It's not like a flat space. I mean, it's rounded. I mean, and you got a round ball.
Yeah, the tip of
the probabilities of that are crazy. I mean, the probabilities of – I mean, do you think they've ever tried to reenact that?
And they probably can't.
Like going they went to practice and were just having fun. Okay, try to catch with your helmet again. I mean, how many kids on the practice field tried to do that? And, of course, high school coaches are yelling at them, what are you doing? But, I mean, I was thinking about that, boy, Dakota, on the text line, the Edelman, that crazy catch against the Falcons and that comeback win. I mean, what do Falcons hold on to win?
Yeah, they got they got a strip sack from earlier that started the comeback by Dante Hightower when they were down 28-12 as the kind of the game-changing play. But I know what you're saying, that cat, tipping it around, that crazy stuff.
And they replayed it. And I mean, at first, it to the naked eye, that had to touch some grass. That had to touch the ground. And then they replayed it, slowed it down. That's a catch.
You know,
suddenly made the Super Bowl, that one, much more interesting.
You know, the one that had two in it.
Two plays
like this. And I have a feeling I just got it on the text line here. No, something different. Went through text. Think back to that Steelers-Cardinals Super Bowl. So Arizona's going in at halftime. And James Harrison on the last play of the half.
Yeah.
Think about all the things that could have happened for that not to be a pick six. And somehow, 100 yards later, he's in the end zone with no time on the clock, flipping that game around at that moment. And then speaking of catches that when it happened, you're like, there is no way he was in. Was that Santonio Holmes' touchdown catch to win the game for the Steelers? That's one of the greatest toe tap. It was almost like he had go-go gadget abilities on his toes to keep them like locked to the ground as he went up as high as he possibly could before his feet came off the ground.
And imagine if Arizona had won that game, how we talk about
Kurt Warner. Yeah, no doubt about it. Think about him individually.
Yeah.
Because he was the victim of the Patriots dynasty starting.
True.
And then he was the victim of that one, too. He could have three.
That's nuts. Yeah.
That story with a 3 Super Bowl win. I mean, because he was done.
I mean, they already made a movie about him. They didn't have to make a sequel.
I know. Yeah, so I thought that was a cool list to kind of get the mind thinking about different things, Super Bowl or outside of Super Bowl. Now, question. Who makes that play this year?
Well, I think it'd have to be the Cincinnati kicker. I mean, they drafted him for a reason.
Yeah, this is exactly right. The Steelers Cards was the last John Madden game. That's exactly right.
That is right. Yep.
That is exactly correct.
Yep. Seriously, though, I don't know. For each team, who would the person to make? It's like I equate it to this. When we watch, when we get ready, when we talk about the OU-Texas football game, we always say there's always that one guy that just makes that one play that either is the deciding factor in this game or turns the game around, and you don't know who that is. It could be a James Winchester. It could be who third-string special teams guy who recovered a fumble. You don't know who that's going to be. I think sometimes that can apply to the Super Bowl, too. Now, the name might be more recognizable, but it might just come out of nowhere and go, oh, my goodness, where did he come from? And then sometimes I think it could be obvious. It could be a Cooper Kupp just going crazy because no one can cover him. It could be Joe Burrow just continue to do Joe Burrow stuff while getting sacked left and right but still making the throws, the key throws that they need. It's hard, but the way the trends are going, I'm serious. I think the Cincinnati kicker could be a factor. You never know.
Yeah.
The way his playoffs have happened, and, you know, Cincinnati is kind of looking like the smartest man in the room, going, yeah, that's why we drafted the guy.
Yeah, here's a – I thought of this is one, speaking of the Rams and Kurt Warner, that Rams-Titans Super Bowl, Kevin Dyson coming up a yard short against Mike Jones after Warner had hit Isaac Bruce, what, 75 yards or 73 yards or something like that to take the lead, and Steve McNair leads the Titans all the way back a yard shy of that one. You know, another play that, you know, people I was reading about this, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. That did. Remember in the Saints-Colts Super Bowl with Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, that surprise onside kick that the Saints pulled out after scoring?
Yeah.
That was a huge play that turned the momentum. And, oh, by the way, Garrett Hartley out of nowhere made like 350-yarders in that game.
Yeah.
Former OU kicker.
I got a signature down in my office.
I've got two, one for each team. One of these guys has already done this, is already on this list for making plays in the Super Bowl that changed the game. Back in Super Bowl 50, Von Miller. Because of what you said about sacks and the horrible matchup that it is for Cincinnati's O-line against that D-line, can't you just see Von Miller strip sack, fumble, you know, maybe even a scoop and score type play to either seal it or change everything that's going into the Rams' favor? I can. I can see him coming from behind Burrow, ripping the ball out, and I literally can visualize it in my head right now with Von Miller making a play like that. Or Ja'Marr Chase. You know, Lynn Swann and John Stallworth are both on these lists with huge catches they made against the Cowboys and the Rams.
Yeah.
You know, back in the 70s. I could see Ja'Marr Chase just making an incredible play to change the way the game is going on the Cincinnati side. So those are my two candidates to be guys that are going to be on a list like this later on for making biggest, you know, turning point plays for their teams.
I know Friday we'll have our we'll pick the game and maybe even the MVP, but one of my candidates for that is Aaron Darnold, and I think he can be. You saw at the end of that San Francisco game how disruptive he is. You know, when it comes down to a key moment in the game, look for him. Defensively, look for him.
Yep, no doubt.
Kind of obvious answers, but like I said, I don't think the obvious answer is – I don't think we have the answer. I think
it could be somebody else.
It could be somebody else and go, whoa, a pick six from a guy we don't even know his name.
I do think one of the major advantages, and you just mentioned, for Cincinnati is kicker. Matt Gay has left like 45 yarders short in the last two playoff games.
Huh. Was it a delicate situation where your heart was in Oklahoma for so long, you leave, and you want to bring some players over, but you know it's sensitive? Was that kind of a tough situation?
I think so, but I think the transfer portal kind of handles a lot of that. You know, we didn't take players from Oklahoma. We took players from the transfer portal. You know, those players and their families had to make a decision to either stay at that university just like any other player has to make, or to enter the portal where then they can be recruited by anybody in the country. And that's up to those players and their families, and we have nothing to do with that. But once a player gets into
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. That was maybe Public Enemy number one, at least down in Norman, Oklahoma, or in the state of Oklahoma, outside of Stillwater. Lincoln Riley. And, I mean, for him to say some of the stuff that's coming out of his mouth is just an absolute joke. He is like a politician flip-flopping on an issue. This is the same crybaby that wouldn't let Austin Kendall and Chandler Morris transfer through the portal out of Oklahoma.
Right.
And now he's saying this stuff yesterday with Colin Cowherd. He's talking about guardrails against the portal, trying to change it. And, you know, give me.
He wants to get all he can and then lock out everybody else. Is that what he's trying to do?
What a clown. It is such a flip-flop.
What a clown. The guy is only about himself. That's what I think I've figured out. Look out, USC, because he's going to leave you guys too when the better opportunity comes to make money. I get it. Making money, that's the American way. But the character of this guy, it's becoming evident. He's been all about himself. It was very evident as how he prepared OU all last season. I thought game in, game out, this team was one of the most talented teams he's had. Now, that's arguable, but the most unprepared teams, game in and game out. And we all kept wondering, why? And then he lies through his teeth saying that USC contacted him immediately after the Bedlam game. Lie. That's a lie. He was contacted way before that. His mind and heart was not in it. Even when there was chances to get OU to the Big 12 championship game and with the outside shot to get to the playoff, his heart was not in it. And it makes you question him, you know, the character of the guy. Was he talking with other players during the season? He had fellow coaches out allegedly recruiting for OU, but it looked like they were trying to get some players to come to USC as well. Manning.
Oh, I don't think that's allegedly.
Yeah.
That is happening.
The dude is a snake. He's a clown. His true character has been shown. Well, if he did it to OU, in 5 years he might do it again to USC.
Here's the problem, and it's not just Lincoln Riley. He's not the only one like this.
Right.
He's just the closest one and has the scars for this state. But the truth of it is, one of the biggest problems, if not the biggest problem with college football, is all the power has been handed over to the coaches. They have all the power. They have the power to leave. They don't have to honor contracts. There's buyout money, but they're going to get paid more at the other place, so they don't care. It's all within the coaches. And now that you've given the players the freedom of movement that you have with the portal, with the NIL, and all those things that come together, this is going to happen more and more often because you've got guys with the coaches having the power that are going places for the coach and not the school. There's a handful of those everywhere, every year, in every class that's recruited. And he's no different than anybody else that, you know, there's that glitter. You know, he accepted the glitter and the limelight of USC. He also ran away from the challenge of what the SEC was. There's no doubt about that. And that's starting to be admitted freely now. What I want to know is where does – if what's out there is true – that himself and Caleb Williams left Stillwater together outside of the team. What was that conversation?
Oh yeah, we all know what that conversation was.
And this idea that you're starting, this idea that
the
you
conversation
heard,
was, this is where I'm going. I want you to come with me, but we need to
here's
devise
how
a plan
you do it.
Of how to do it.
That's right. I mean, anybody that still honestly believes that Caleb Williams was looking around for an entire month after the bowl game at other options outside of USC is just a flat-out idiot. That wasn't happening. It just wasn't. Why in the world do you think Mario Williams committed to USC 2 weeks before Caleb Williams announced, like he didn't know? I mean, come on. He even said, I'm hitching my wagon to Caleb. And everybody got played by all this money that's supposedly out there. No. It was just simply a cooling off period to try to make himself and his coach look better when they joined forces out at SC. And the truth of it is, if the two of them would just tell the truth.
Right.
People would accept it so much faster. I mean, they won't like it. No one's ever going to like it from the state of Oklahoma or an OU fan about what happened. But they'll accept it so much easier. And then the problem is he is digging himself a hole, a la the last major star to leave in this way, Durant. And guess what? People still despise him. If he would have just said, listen, it's going to be easier to win with Steph and Clay and Draymond than it is with just me and Russ. And by the way, me and Russ don't like each other all that much. So I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to make sure I get titles. And then I'll be a nomad after that. If Riley just says that, sure, people get mad for a week. But they're not mad for 2 months or forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a forever thing
for
him.
And that's the thing that sticks. It's like a lifelong lesson, right? And that told, don't lie. Just come out. Tell the truth. It might not be pretty, but at least you'll be respected for it.
And I think,
and if you've ever been lied to, you know that feeling. You know that feeling, and it sticks with you. I mean, I can remember when people lied to me when I was in junior high, for crying out loud. Like, I remember that. I remember that lie. I remember that. That sticks with me, and that just tells me what kind of person you are. And he's a liar, and I think we are seeing the true colors of one Lincoln Riley.
He's like a politician, man. He's just like a politician, and here's the truth.
Not a very good one. Some politicians really are good at lying.
Yeah, not well.
Some, well, not all, but
here's
some.
The deal. People don't like Cowherd either, and so the guy trying to take up for him, people
clown.
Already
that
don't like anyway.
That guy's a clown, too. The guy spends almost half of his career now ripping on Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma by extension, and now you got the guy from Oklahoma, and now all of a sudden they're buddy-buddy singing Kumbaya. Let's go in. I'll help you with your PR stunt here.
It's nothing different than what you see with politicians do. And I think one last thing on this topic. We'll get to Kyler tomorrow because that is strange. But you know another thing that people, especially around here, don't appreciate? Is that the truth of the matter is the University of Oklahoma made Lincoln Riley, not the other way around.
It's true. Absolutely true.
Bob Stoops took Lincoln Riley out of Greenville, South Carolina?
Yeah.
North Carolina, whatever it is, South Carolina. Yeah. And brought him to Norman, Oklahoma, and handed him the keys to the Porsche. And he drove it in the ditch. And then lied about driving it in the ditch. And took your buddy with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's never, and this is a fan base that, trust me, doesn't get over stuff like this.
No.
From Keith Stansberry interception in 1984 that's still brought up on an almost daily basis around this state about how big of a blown call that was. You think spiting this fan base is working out for you ever again? Sorry about your luck, bro.
It's still bitter to talk about OU at Oregon in 06.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even that win in the Alamo Bowl didn't heal that wound completely.
The first USC loss next year is ought to be fun on Twitter.
Interesting comments, I thought, by him. We'll be back tomorrow. Kyler Murray, Super Bowl, all kinds of other stuff. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!